May I now invite you, beloved, to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans and chapter 8, focusing on a great God who is at work. A great God who is at work. For purposes of context, let's begin reading from verse 18 and end at verse 30. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for we hope for who hopes for what he sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Like us to read verse 28 from the NIV, which is the text we will be using in preaching this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, reading it as it is rendered in the NIV, that is the translation we will follow this morning. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This morning, a great God at work. A great God at work. It is obvious that we do not need to be reminded that we're living during challenging times. We're living during the time of this pandemic that has caused all of us to move about with masks, with less freedom. Those are the less threatening elements. Move about with less freedom or with fear because of its ability, the rate at which lives are being taken. Because of the sufferings that this disease has brought upon humanity, it has affected the economies of the world, has affected the activities of the world. It's affected church life as a whole. And it is under these circumstances that we continue to reflect on passages and verses and texts that would encourage us and give us hope in a situation and a time like this. A great God at work. Few statements of Scripture are more familiar than this, or more full of comfort. Romans 8, verse 28, wrote John Stott, is surely one of the best non-texts in the Bible. On it, believers of every age and place have stayed their minds. It has been likened to a pillow on which to rest our weary heads. And this morning, we pick up that text to be our pillow, our cushion on which we rest our weary heads, our hearts, our concerns, and our fears, and find the cushion therein. In Romans 8:28, we know, as you read Romans 8:28, begins with, we know. And that statement, we know, expresses the knowledge. And it is with this knowledge of faith, I invite you to zoom in to the details of Romans 8:28 as we behold a great God at work in all things. We know expresses the knowledge of faith. Now, as you read Romans and as we read it, you noticed that the Apostle Paul does state that there are things we don't know. And among them, we don't know how to pray. There are things that are hidden from us because the Lord has not revealed them to us. We do not know how to pray. But that's not the only thing we don't know. There are many in the Scriptures who tell us the secret things belong to God. But in that same passage, he tells us there are things we know. And one of the things we know is what he's told us in verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that in all things, God is at work. And it is that statement I am referring to, that in Romans 8:28, we know expresses the knowledge of faith, and it is with this knowledge of faith I invite you, as it were with a camera, to zoom into the details of Romans 8:28 as we behold a great God at work in all things, and at work in all things purposefully. As is stated already by John Stott, and as is known by all of us, it's one of those very well-known passages, but one of those passages that generations after generation, in times of calamity, they have gone to and have found comfort and solace and strength and encouragement in holding on to it and applying it to our hearts. That's what I'm calling us to do this morning. And I am using the word zoom, as is used by cameramen, to kind of go in and focus on a particular detail of the picture they are taking. If it's a bird, they go in, and if it's the head or the legs, they go in and pick the details. And it is the details of Romans 8:28 I would like us to zoom in as we seek to be encouraged, as we behold a great God doing a great work. 5, zoom in details will be up for us to focus on. 5 details will be what we'll consider. Firstly, let us zoom in on the fact that the focus of the text is God. The focus of the text is God. God must always be the object of our focus the object of our attention in good or bad times. We must never move our focus to anything else or anyone else, irrespective of the circumstances. We must, under the circumstances, not even so focus on the coronavirus that we forget about God. It is like watching a movie and focus on these people that come in as supports, people that come in as helpers, as distractions, and move your focus from the hero or the star of the movie. As you read verse 28, we're down to the end of this chapter, the focus of the Apostle Paul that is drawing us to is to focus on God. Romans 8, verse 1 to 27, focused on the human will and its consent to walk by the Spirit. So that as you read Romans 8 from verse 1 to 27, it is focus on the human will, the human mind, and how this concerns, agrees to walk by the Spirit. Romans 8, 28 to 39 is all about God. God is the focus. Listen to how the verses read, picking up from verse 29, to simply bring out that the focus of this section is God. Verse 29, for those whom he, that is God, so I'll be replacing the pronouns with the noun God. For those whom God foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom God predestined, God also called. And those whom God called, God also justified. And those whom God justified, God also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, and the story goes on, and as you read verse 30, here is how it reads, no height, no depth, no anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we read verse 28, the focus of that verse, the context of suffering, the context of groaning invites us to focus on God. As you consider that text, as you examine the details of this text, you will notice that one of the major things, not only this passage, but the whole of the remaining of the section, is to invite us to focus on God. While different translators have interpreted this verse in different ways, some see God as the subject, others believe that all things is the subject and rendered it thus. What is clearly emphatic, however, in the whole chapter, as in all scripture, is the presentation of God as sovereign director or ruler or superintendent or governor over all the affairs of life. It is clear that Paul here meant that God is the one who orders all the events of life, not just the intercession of the indwelling Spirit, so they culminate in the blessing of his children. God not only is involved in the Holy Spirit interceding for us, but he orders, he governs all things. And our focus, therefore, must be a focus on God. shifting focus to anything good or bad that dethrones God is idolatry. I'd like to urge you, beloved, that as we go through a difficult time, if there is a being we must focus on, may I beg you to make God your focus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In times like this, it is very easy to focus even on Corona as the main theme, as the most important, threatening as it is, it must not be the thing that dethrones God. Our obsession, our attention, our focus, our preoccupation must be God. So we read in the text, God in all things is at work. As we zoom in the text, you notice that the text is basically focusing on the fact that God is the one that must attract our attention. God must always be the object of our focus, the object of our attention in good or bad times. Clearly, we're living in a bad time in terms of human perspective. But secondly, let us zoom in on the activity of God as a source of great comfort in times of adversities. Let us zoom in on the activity of God as a source of great comfort in times of adversities. Look at the text and notice what the Apostle Paul tells us. And we know that in all things God works, or God is at work. And we know that in all things God works. What is God doing in the text? Working. The activity of God is working, and is working, as we shall see later, to accomplish a purpose. Paul in this verse tells us that one of the things we know in this text, now as I've indicated, there are many things we do not know, but among the things we know according to the scriptures, we know that God is working, God is at work, God works. He works in all things, and he works in all people, works in our lives. All things work together for good, not by inherent force, not within the thing itself. The working is not primarily caused by the thing. The working, the coming to the realization of what will be accomplished, is because of God. Not by fate or chance, but divine control, by divine working. So even as we're going through this difficult time, this passage is inviting you and inviting me to focus on the fact that even in the context of this terrible virus, God is working. He is not indifferent. He is not simply passively folding his hands. He is not standing off the peripheral and beholding people in the ring and the results he has no control over. He is at work. He is not only at work during this time of the coronavirus, is at work in your individual challenges of life. Wrestling with sickness, wrestling with family issues, marital problems, economic issues and all aspects of life, the uncertainties of tomorrow. This text is inviting us to focus on the fact that God is working. Listen to the text. And now we know that in all things, God works. God is working. God is causing all these things to culminate in conclusions of his dictates. So Paul in this tells us one of the things we know. We know that God works or is at work in all things and in our lives. All things work together for good, not by inherent force, not by fate or chance, but by divine control, by divine working. All things do not automatically work themselves into a pattern of good. God works in all things. This comforting conviction, beloved, is strengthened by both experience and observation, and is founded upon faith in the constant reminder care of a loving great God who is our Father in heaven. As you observe life, you come to the conclusion, if you are a Christian, and as you read the scriptures, you will understand both by experience, but by observation, founded upon faith in the constant reminder care of a loving great God, you will understand that surely it is God working. If it was not for God, we would be in a more miserable, a more hopeless situation than we are today. Beloved, be comforted. Not only under the present pandemic situation, but under all circumstances of life. Lost a loved one? Please be comforted in the fact that the Lord is working. The Lord is working. You're school going and you're not sure when this will come to an end. Therefore, you're not sure how ready you're preparing. Not saying you don't work, but be assured we have a great God who is working. Thirdly, let us zoom in on the immensity of the God at work as a source of great comfort in times of adversities. I say that this is one passage that continues to challenge my comprehension of God and his work. But also, for lack of better words, the bigness of this God. Immensity. This is not a small being. This is not some small boy playing football. This is not some president but least in the line. This is not some monarch but lowest in rank. This is God, and God very, very big. So big that the text describes that is able to work, to cause all things. Listen to the text again. Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those he loves. Where do we get the sense of the immensity of God? Begin for a moment to simply imagine how many things are going on at this present moment, in this town, in this province, in this country, on this continent, and the other continents in the world. How many things are going on, not only on planet Earth, in the universe, in the animal world, the celestial beings, the things that are going on. And the text basically tells us that in all things, every single one of them and all of them put together, there is one directing each and every one of them, and there is one who is getting each and every one of them and all of them to fulfill his purpose. If you have two children, probably boys, and they are in their 17s, you know how difficult. If they are young toddlers jumping on chairs, how difficult to control them. But here is God that not only directs the affairs of your heart, he directs all the stubborn individuals, the crooked of them, the most corrupt of them, the best of them. He is working. Only a great and big, immense God is able to do that. He is so a great God that he alone is able to work in all things, including the virus you're wrestling with now. Whatever the motive, if it is human created, wherever it came from, whoever is wrongly profiting from this, and whoever's an evil agenda, that all those agendas intended to harm and destroy, particularly for his children, as we will see, God is working. Surely he must be a great God. Let's put it trivially this way, that every mask you wear, only reason it's being effective, there is a God who is working to ensure that it works to accomplish the purpose for which you wear it. He's ensuring that the bacteria get to it and are stuck. The properties are functioning. He's working. When you stand 2 meters away and somebody coughs, God is working to ensure that these bacteria or viruses fall before they reach you. All things means just that. One commentator has written, all things. In the context, these things include the adversities the believer experiences. The question we must ask from the versions that translate the verse as all things work together for good, like the ESV, the New English Translation, and the New King James Version, is how do all things work together for good? And the answer is found in versions that translate the verse as, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, like the New American Standard Version and the New Living Translation. God is at work in all things, and surely he is a great God. And these are truths we must again and again remind ourselves of, especially in this context of difficult time globally. Let's be reminded that God is an immense God. No experience incident to human life should be regarded as beyond the permission and the power of God, or incapable of being used by God to promote our truest good. The undergirding and directing principle and directing force behind all the events of life is the sovereign guidance, the sovereign working of a great God. That's your God and mine. So verse 28, as we zoom in, basically we focus and it reveals to us the immensity of this great God. Fourthly, Let us zoom in on the fact that God is working in all things purposefully. God is working in all things purposefully as a source of great comfort and assurance in times such as these. Brethren, God is ceaselessly, energetically, and purposefully active on your behalf and mine if you and I love the Lord. God is at work for the good of his people. His activities are all calculated to advance his people's good, including COVID-19. All that is negative in this life, as we see in verse 17 and 23, as far as God's working is concerned, is towards a positive purpose in the execution of God's eternal plan for those who love God. Nothing is beyond the overruling, overriding scope of his good providence for his children. Listen to how Stott puts in commenting on these words as I read from the commentary that he wrote. The fact that he is working purposefully. We do not always understand what God is doing, let alone welcome it. Nor are we told that he is at work for our comfort. But we know that in all things is working towards our supreme good. And one of the reasons we know this is that we are given many examples of it in Scripture. For instance, this was Joseph's conviction about his brother's cruelty in selling him into Egypt. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. The saving of many lives. Similarly, Jeremiah wrote in God's name a letter to the Jews in Babylonian exile after the catastrophic destruction of Jerusalem. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The same concurrence of human evil and divine plan had its most conspicuous display in the cross, which Peter attributed both to the wickedness of men and to God's set purpose and foreknowledge. The scriptures testify that God is at work and is at work purposefully. Lastly, let us zoom in on the objects of God's working for good in all things. God's working for good in all things. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is working for the good, not of every single individual, but for the good of those who love him. So the passage limits the people for whom God is working for good. It is those who have been convicted by the Holy Spirit of sin and its misery. It is those whose minds have been enlightened in knowledge of Christ. It is those whose wills have been renewed and have been persuaded and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It is the Christians that are the object of this promise or assurance. Those who seek to do his will. Those who have accepted and will accept his salvation. Those who rest in his grace can be and should be sure of his loving care in the darkness as well as in the light, and can know that through all the mysteries of life, God is perfecting a plan of eternal glory. He's at work purposefully. He is at work for those who love him. He is at work to demonstrate that he's a God who is big and there is no problem bigger than him. He is at work. And that must be a source of comfort, and because he's at work, all that he's working at will come to be accomplished, and therefore the text is calling us to focus on this great God. I beg you that unless you know this God, he is not working for your good. If you know this God, he is working for your good. During times such as this, please use Romans 8:28 as your source of comfort and glorious encouragement. A great God is at work even during these tough times. May we experience this great work and be comforted by his great work. May God richly bless you. Amen. Before we sing a closing hymn, let's pray together. Grateful for your word. Thank you that, yes, it's a familiar text, and yet one of those passages, like the whole book of Romans, your children, time and time, have found absolutely comforting, encouraging, giving hope. The setting in which this is written, the setting of suffering. It's in that context the Apostle Paul assures us that you are at work. We are grateful. The one who is at work is our God. The one who is at work is our great God. The one who is at work works purposefully. The one who is at work works for the children that belong to him. We thank you that you are the only true and living God and the one at work. Work to save. Work to sanctify. Work to encourage during these times of hardship. Thank you for your word. Bless each one of us and call us, O God, to trust you and focus on you. Plead in the great name of your great Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.